This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
How about it, Packer fans? The Green Bay Packers get the job done. And I would have to say, and I think Tommy Wirtz, my producer, will agree with me today, probably the best game we've really kind of seen for certainly from this Packers offense. I think this is definitely the best game we've seen from the Packers offense. And I think the Packers defense was good too, for that matter.
This was one of those games where you weren't really worried. There was a little bit in the end of the first half where you were like, okay, you know, let's relax a little bit here. But everyone who's a Packer fan knows how much of a job it is to watch the game on Sundays. Today, that was the easiest day of work in a long time, it felt like.
I think that from the perspective of the Green Bay Packers, when you look at this game today, they needed something like this. And I was on Dorf on Sports, a national radio show on Sirius XM with Andy Dorf, who was on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on Friday afternoon because he lives down in the Phoenix area. And he kept preaching, it's going to be closer than everybody thinks. Be closer than everybody thinks. And I was just like, I didn't see any Packer fans all week saying anything along the lines of, oh, the Packers are going to crush Arizona. Oh, the Packers are going to run away from Arizona. I was like, man, Packer fans aren't all that bought in that this thing is right now. Like, there are things that have to get better. Packers pass rush had to get better coming into this game. Jordan Love had to get better throwing the football coming into this game. There were a lot of different things the Packers had to improve on. And lo and behold, as we sit here right now, after a 34-13 Packers victory, as we, you know, are here on 1250 AM The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, you feel so much better. Like, this looked much more like the offense that we saw in the second half last year, Tommy. And this is kind of what we've been waiting to see from this Packers offense, to see, okay, is this going to be a thing going forward? Or was the second half maybe not really what they are, and maybe it's not going to be all of that?
Well, and it was a much more complete offense too, right? Yep. They had Christian Watson back. They had Romeo Doubs back. Both of them found the end zone today. They had a little bit of a mix-up with the O-line near the end of the game with Josh Myers going down, but they were doing the rotation of Morgan and Ryan throughout the game as well. The offense looked like it was all on the same page today. And Jordan Love's knee looks great. He had a couple of awesome scrambles today. I don't think we have to really worry about that much anymore. But when you get those weapons back, when you get Romeo Doubs, you get Christian Watson, the team's depth is unmatched in the NFL right now. Dontavian Wicks didn't have his targets like he's been having the last few weeks. They had Bo Melton well in this now above him, it seemed like. Matt LaFleur's creativity can go wherever it wants to when he's got the five guys he loves to get the ball to.
Absolutely. And that's the one thing I think, too, from a Packers perspective of, in last week, in fairness, I forgot about Narvison not missing a kick. And I brought it up at the end.
You did.
And you were like, oh, he's supposed to make kicks, whatever. And Charlie used it on Wisconsin Sports Daily. I brought up there, he's supposed to make kicks. Yeah, but that's not who this dude is. He's not. He's Carlson all over again. Every week he misses kicks, and he missed another one today.
Yeah.
And listen, we're only going to harp on this a little bit. Just a little bit, real quick here. When you hear the announcers, this is the second time he's been at Lambeau, and I've heard the announcers say, quote, he was missing on both sides of the field today in warmups. When you say that, that's red flags for me, because it's not like you're missing under the pressure of the moment. Okay, that's one thing. Maybe he's not a great pressure kicker. Okay. It's another when every time you're at home, I hear announcers saying he can't kick here and misses both sides in warmups. No. This is not good. I didn't hear this about Carlson last year. I didn't hear announcers all last year saying he's missing on both sides before the game. I don't remember these conversations with Carlson.
Yeah, and they were always, oh, he had a great week of practice, but a terrible pregame warm-up the entire time, right? And you know, my father is coining him Braden Narveson right now. That's his go-to line for Braden Narveson coming out here. I'm still just, if it's 4th and 5 or less and you don't want to punt, you can't kick a field goal with him right now. You just can't. And I don't know how you're going to build that confidence. It really feels like a stubbornness to keep him out there right now, too, between whoever it is, Goody or LaFleur, it's his guy kind of thing. They're going to ride with him much too long. Much too long, it sounds like.
We'll see. My thing on this is you rode with Carlson all of last year, missing a kick every week. And this right now isn't any different than what you dealt with last year. My only concern more than anything is him not even hitting kicks in warmups. And again, today was another game condition that he hasn't been a part of there yet.
Yeah, it was slick. It was rainy in the beginning.
Wind.
Yeah.
He had wind going on. So there was a lot of stuff. And that is what makes it tricky to kick at Lambeau Field.
Last year,
it's not a dome. It's no coincidence he didn't miss a kick last week in perfect conditions.
Last year, Carlson missed 6 kicks all year, and Narveson's already at 5.
Field goals.
Yes, field goals.
Extra points?
Extra points was rough. He missed 5 of those.
That's what I said. Every week, the kid missed a kick almost.
Yes.
Almost every week, he missed a kick. So right now, we're going through the same thing here with our guy Narveson. Like I said, when they kept him, dude, you went from one rookie who had never kicked, put him in a tough situation, gave up on him after a year, which most Packer fans wanted, and then put another kid that's never kicked in the NFL into the exact same situation. This would have been completely different had it been a veteran kicker.
Yeah, it seems to be the only question mark on the team. Especially after today's game, it seems to be the only thing that is, okay, what do we got to do here?
Right. And that, to me, you know, there's a lot of positives, right? Like, Jaden Reed is just an absolute boss.
3rd and goal, 3 straight incompletions for the Packer QB. Off to throw again to the goal line. Touchdown, Jaden Reed!
It's a beautiful thing. When you are able to take a guy, move him all over behind the line of scrimmage, wherever you want to put him, and then let him use his speed to get the edge, to make people miss, to run by people. That throw, to me, was the best throw he made all day, was that throw right there to Jaden Reed. Cutting across right there with the defender in his hip pocket. The guy was right with Jaden Reed. Threw a perfect ball, Reed caught it, and went into the end zone for a touchdown. That was a beautiful throw.
I'll say that was the second best. The 3rd down to Christian Watson, where he fit in that window.
Yeah. But that wasn't a wise decision.
Well, it wasn't, but it was a great throw, and it meant we didn't have to kick a field goal, so I was totally okay with it. And that's why I think it was the best throw right there. It got us away from it. But the Jaden Reed one was right in the pocket. I mean, right where you want it. No one else is going to get it, and he's just too fast. He's such a dynamic playmaker on the offensive side. I've said it the last few weeks. He's the best player on the team. He's the best player on the offense, for sure.
Now, having said that, let's move on and talk about something else when we start talking about best throws and so forth. This one, where is it here? Did I lose it? I'm trying to find it. The Romeo Doubs.
The second one.
The second touchdown where he literally threw the ball up into the air and Doubs made it incredible, did an incredible job finding the ball, turning around, stopping, and making the catch. Unbelievable.
4-man rush. Love throws towards the sideline. Diving in, it's Romeo Doubs with a touchdown.
That was the first one.
even though it says the second one.
That was the second one when he comes off and then he dives in like that. Afterwards.
No, I was not talking about that one. I'm talking about the first one or whichever one it was where he throws the ball up into the air. It was a horrible throw. Dobbs had to stop, turn around, come back for it, catch it, and then tippy toe around the pie line into the end zone. That was the one I'm talking about. And that, as I tweeted out, I was like, lucky, good, doesn't matter. It's a touchdown. And that was the second one. Yeah, that was the first one. That was the second touchdown. And that, to me, was kind of what you get with Jordan Love. That great throw to Christian Watson, questionable decision. And then that throw to the right side where he underthrows it. And again, probably should have thrown the ball, if we're being honest. He had all kinds of pressure, and he's like, to hell with it. I'm just going to throw it up and see what happens. He threw it up way up into the air, and Dobbs tracked it, stopped. Defender went running by because he didn't see it, turned around, caught it, and then tiptoed around of the pylon for the touchdown.
That's the same throw he made.
You have good and bad with the decisions that he makes. Sometimes it works out, and then other times you're like, oh, damn, why'd you do that? That should have been intercepted. Like, for instance, if you go back to that play in the beginning of the game, his first throw could have been intercepted by that Cardinal linebacker who was right there.
Yeah, the Okwara one at the beginning. Yes, that was the same throw he made when Harrison Smith was standing in the end zone by himself and intercepted it easily against Minnesota. It's the exact same throw. It's adjacent to the throw we saw to Jaden Reed last week, where he threw it up and there were three guys right there, and Jaden Reed somehow comes down with it. Jordan Love is absolutely embracing his gunslinger mentality this season. He's just taking risks all day. He wants to go down the field. They've brought it up on the broadcast. Matt LaFleur's brought up, they need to establish more checkdowns for him because he loves to go down the field.
I agree with you, but the problem is decision-making, and that's what we have been talking about, and LaFleur gave him, a zero for the one throw that he made, that long throw in a triple coverage that he hit last week, and he deserved a zero.
Yes.
And that play you're talking about to Christian Watson down the middle of the field, where literally Daryl Johnson's like, look at this, all you see is white, and there's Christian Watson's helmet, kind of, and he threw it up there, and again, it was a great throw. I'm not knocking the throw. I'm just knocking whether or not that was the right decision. And that is the one area I think you look at and go, okay, so how do we go about doing this with Jordan Love? Is it like Brett, where you just live and die with it and go, hey, it is who he is. He's going to make unbelievable plays, and you're going to be like, no, yes. Or do you try and coach him out of it? I don't know if you can coach some of this out of a player. I think some of this is a guy just trying to make a play in a moment, and sometimes you're just going to shake your head and go, why did you throw that ball? And it's going to be, I thought I could get the ball there. I thought I could whistle it in between two guys and get the ball there. I thought I could throw it over the defender off my back leg and get the ball there. Today, there was a lot of good, so I don't want this to sound like a losing postgame show. But if we're going to nitpick Jordan Love as far as how he gets better going forward, it is decision-making, I think, is the one area.
Yeah, he doesn't lack confidence by any means. He is very confident when he's throwing the football, and it sometimes impacts his decision-making. But I think he also has a lot of confidence in the receiving core, especially when it's at full strength like it was today. And a lot of those guys are playmakers. You're going to go up, go ahead, let's get him a 50-50 ball. We want to establish something on the offensive side with a big play. And every time he needed to be, the only interception today was completely not his fault. I mean, he was...
Oh, yeah, Melton fell down.
Right, yeah, yes. it was not his fault. So that's a totally, a series of unfortunate events for him. So when you have Jordan Love going out there, making these big throws, trying to do something, fitting in his decision-making, being questionable, Arizona had a lot of secondary out today. He tried to take advantage of it, and it didn't bite him. So when it bites him, I'm sure he'll try to adjust from there. But we saw at the end of last season, he was very efficient. He can be the very efficient, smart decision-making quarterback when you need him to be. Right now, he's trying to find ways to win games, take chances, let our guys make plays, and it worked out all right for him today.
Packers get the win today, and very, very excited by the victory, obviously, because the Packers offense looked really good. 34-13. If you want to jump aboard, feel free. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. What are you most excited about in this football game? Do you have anything to be concerned about? We just talked briefly there about Jordan Love's decision-making, but What are you most excited about? What are you kind of concerned about maybe after this game? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Our guy Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. It is Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., we'll announce two new shows here on The Fan. 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, two new shows. Not only are we announcing the two new shows, they will begin in full tomorrow morning after the announcement, as well as they'll go back-to-back. So again, make sure you're tuning in tomorrow morning. Tell your friends, tell your families, put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, Instagram, wherever y'all, TikTok, wherever y'all post stuff. Tell everybody, two new local shows, Monday through Friday, on The Fan, being announced and starting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. People have asked, can I go back and listen to it? It's like 6 a.m. my time, Sparky, at 8 a.m. your time. Absolutely. And then you can go back and listen to the full shows themselves on the Odyssey app, and it'll be all right there. Download it today, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can listen for free on the Odyssey app as well. Take a quick time out, come back, and we will look at the drive of the game. Brought to you by our good friends Steel Wind Industries, a huge sponsor of our toy drive, which is back again this year at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, who opened their toy land over the weekend. I was there. Make sure to get some toys, maybe hustle up some toys at your place of business. And then we will be out at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek the week of December 2nd. Wisconsin Sports Daily will be broadcasting out there all week long. So again, toy drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest starts the week of December 2nd at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. It is Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express here on 1250 AM The Fan, powered by the power of Odyssey Sports.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sportsbook.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steel Wind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Packers get the win. How are you feeling? It is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Packers roll easily 34-13. Not a lot of drama for you Packer fans or us here in the studio. After a Packers win, now 4-2 are the Green Bay Packers. Let's go inside the box score, then we'll get to your calls. Again, what are you excited about? Maybe a little something you're concerned about, maybe still after this game. Maybe you have no concerns. Maybe you're like, dude, Super Bowl, here we go. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at TheFanMilwaukee as well. Jordan Love today, 22 of 32, 258 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, a quarterback rating of 119.5. Hot damn, that's good. And again, the interception wasn't his fault, right? Bo Melton slipped, fell, and the defender made a diving catch behind him, who was covering another wide receiver. I made the play. Josh Jacobs, 18 carries, 62 yards. Emmanuel Wilson, 7 for 54. Bo Melton, 2 for 27. Chris Brooks, 4 for 21. Jordan Love ran 5 times for 13 yards. Tucker Kraft, and that tricky play there where he took the snap, 1 carry, 2 yards. But a critical first down run there for the Packers as well. Christian Watson, 3 catches, 68 yards, and a touch. Romeo Doubs, 3 for 49 and 2 touchdowns. He had 4 targets. That was a big talking point on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's this week, as far as, so how many targets do you give him? Like, does he go out there and get like 8, 10 targets, or how do you play this? And I had just said, like, if you give him one target, he's going to be madder than you know what. So that can't be a thing. But if you give him 10 targets and he's by far and away the leading guy, on this offense, that's a horrible look as well for the Packers locker room, because then it's like, well, if you just don't come to a couple practices, yeah, you'll get suspended in the game, but then you get a bunch of throws. So you can't go that way either. I'd said 5 or 6 targets. Good enough. He ended up with 4 and 2 scores. I think that's perfect, Tommy Wirtz, as far as how you wanted Romeo Doubs to play in this game.
Yeah, no, and it sounded like we didn't have the whole story that we were prefacing last week, right? Let's hear more of the information.
You know the whole story? Go ahead, tell me.
No,
because I don't know the whole story. I heard him on Friday. I still don't know the whole story.
It sounded a lot less diva-esque than what we were maybe assuming it could have been. Hey, you're getting suspended. He had even said that he wishes he handled it a different way. That was brought up today as well, too. And Matt LaFleur said he's very forgiving. It seems like everything is a lot more cordial now with them. I don't think there's any worry now with how Romeo Doubs is going forward on his role with the team.
First touchdown today. Jaden Reed scores a touchdown. I get a tweet immediately. Man, Sparky, I don't know. He was the only guy that didn't go over and congratulate him. He just walked off the field while everybody else was celebrating with Jaden Reed. I was like, oh. Well, that's not good.
Well, then they embraced in a hug after everything right. when he scored his first or second one.
Right, but we're
was.
Talking about the first touchdown. He just walked off the field. Everybody else went and celebrated with Jaden Reed. And this guy caught it, and I was like, oh, I wasn't paying attention. To be honest with you, okay, something to watch. I guess we'll see what happens. Well, then, of course, you just get 2 touchdowns. You feel good about life again
because right.
I'm the guy again, right? So, again, wasn't it a diva? Of course it was diva. If you're not coming because you don't think you're getting enough targets or you don't like how the offense is based for you, whatever, that's diva. He doesn't have to be boisterous and vocal and cocky in order to still have a diva-like attitude. There was definitely diva that goes along with it, if that's what it was. On the broadcast, they said that he now understands that, hey, man, if I got a problem, I go to my wide receivers coach. Then they go to the offensive coordinator. Then he goes to the head coach. That's kind of the line of how this works. Not to take matters in your own hands and just not show up.
It also sounded like he was going through a little more personal issues with it too, didn't it? It gave off that vibe when they were talking about too.
I don't know. I'm just telling you, on the broadcast, from what they talked with LaFleur, that's how it was brought to them.
Okay.
So I have no idea. And again, Romeo Doubs himself really let us in on nothing. So I have no idea what the deal is. Either way, I'm glad it's done. I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he got 2 touchdowns, and we can move on with our lives now going forward. This offense is better with Romeo Doubs. But as I said this week, and I will say again, he is not a number one on this team or any team. So you have to have some self-awareness of who you are going forward. I mean, if we took and said, okay, I don't know, pick somebody, so, for instance, when I used to do the Wendy's Big Show, it's Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, me, and then whoever the other person was. Rami Makhlouf, Baby Tausch, Billy Schmidt, Josh Vernier, whatever. Well, I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to know that me, Baby Tausch, Rami, Vernier, none of us were the guys on that show. It was about Gary and Leroy on that show. That's what that show was about. Know your place, know who's the guys that people are tuning into, and know your role and do your job. Romeo Doubs, if he thinks he's better than he is, then some self-awareness has to come along here and understand what this is. Now, the weird part about this is, on this team specifically, nobody's that guy yet.
Right.
Yards-wise, it's Jaden Reed. Targets-wise, it's Wicks. Big play-wise, I think it's always going to be Christian Watson with what they have. But Doubs doesn't have that necessarily that role per se within this offense, other than Jordan Love, clearly, based on offseason, likes him the best, loves him the best, friend-wise, otherwise, whatever the case may be. So again, you have to be somewhat self-aware of who you are, what you are, and how you kind of fit into things and not think you're bigger than what you are. And sometimes in life, that hurts because that can affect people.
Yeah, and this way that the offense is built, there is no positional number one wide receiver built into this offense, right? I mean, Jaden Reed, you want him to get the ball more than anyone else, for sure, but he's not playing the outside, go-get-it deep ball guy on the team, and that's what you think of with a traditional number one.
Correct.
He's the guy who's going to be in motion. He's going to be a misdirection. He's going to get the ball on a swing pass. He's going to get a ball over the middle, whatever it is. Jaden Reed's not going down the field like Justin Jefferson is, and or Calvin Johnson or something, and go get a jump ball. That's not Jaden Reed's game. So if you tell me who's the guy built to be the number one wide receiver, well, everyone thought it was going to be Christian Watson
correct.
When they drafted him.
But he can't stay healthy.
But he's not healthy, correct. So Romeo Doubs is the fail-safe best hands on the team, maybe?
Maybe.
Right? Like the possession guy to just catch the ball.
Right.
And he did have that jump ball a couple weeks ago, right?
That's right. The possession guy.
Right. So
that's the label.
But that would be his, that's how they operate. Jaden Reed's their slot. Their deep threat is Watson. Their possession guy is Dobbs. There is no number one, two, three on this Packers offense when it comes to the receiving core.
All right, let's get to the phones. Dial it up, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. Ron Whitefish Bay, you're first up here in the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
I actually think that Jordan Love's decision-making was better this week. I think they were a lot more patient and a lot more consistent on offense. I think the throw to Watson, if you look back on the play-by-play, I think that was actually on fourth down. So yeah, I didn't have a problem with that play.
That's a good point. Yep.
And the play to Dobbs, if you remember the play against the Vikings, he threw it up in the middle of the field. This one, at least he got to the outside where your receiver has a chance at it. So that was a difference in that play, too. I do think the decision-making is the one thing that he needs to get better at this year. And I've always said that he's more Favre than Rodgers.
Yep.
But also he's more, I'm not just going to throw to one guy like 12 did.
Well, I mean, the other thing with 12 is if you dropped a ball or two, you'd be in his doghouse and wouldn't see the ball again. And that has not been Jordan Love's MO. You drop a ball, he's coming back to you next time he has an opportunity.
I think I remember, not to pile on 12 again, what the last playoff game he played, the last pass he threw for the Packers was an interception when Lazard was running wide open down the field and Adams was in triple coverage.
Correct.
I don't see that from Jordan Love. I see him, you know, being an equal opportunity, passer.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah, for sure. And but in fairness, Ron, if we're being honest here, Love doesn't have Devontae Adams either. Like, if Love had Devontae Adams, would he try to force it more to the for sure dominant one? We don't know because he hasn't had that yet.
No, but I actually think that Reed. I think he's got a chance to be that guy, but they're not playing him outside like you said.
Yeah, we'll find out how this all goes. Ron, thanks for the call. Yeah. Appreciate it. You can dial it up as well. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. Other side of the glass, Tommy Wirtz producing the show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. We were in the middle of going through the box score. We'll continue that in a second. I want to go back to you, Tommy. His thoughts on Favre versus Rodgers, you know, Jordan Love, who is he closer to one way or the other? What would you say?
Ooh, I mean, I would say that growing up, just from watching football.
Oh, you're too young to remember Favre, huh?
Well, no, I watched the back half of Brett Favre,
okay,
right? So but I saw Aaron Rodgers' whole career in my watching football days,
right?
I was watching football. So I was of the belief that this guy is the mark. I mean, there was nothing. He was not throwing interceptions. He's throwing 40 touchdowns a year and throwing six picks. That was unreachable, unattainable by any other quarterback ever. Jordan Love is definitely more Favre-esque than he is Rodgers, but you can see what he took from Aaron Rodgers in a lot. Look at the hard counts today. Did you see how many times they had Arizona on that?
Cardinals were so undisciplined.
Oh my goodness. Horrible. That was prime Aaron Rodgers. Hey, the 12 man that ended up getting called back to on the 4th-and-1 or something.
Because we were lined up wrong.
But he takes a lot from Aaron Rodgers' game. He doesn't take the check down game from Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers loved his check downs when he was going off throwing the ball. But he fits those tight windows. He would much rather go down the field like Brett Favre would, and he isn't afraid to make a mistake. You know what Aaron Rodgers used to do to avoid interceptions? Aaron Rodgers took sacks. Aaron Rodgers threw the ball out of bounds. Jordan Love does not do that nearly as much as Aaron Rodgers did. So by that logic, I would say he is much more Favre-esque than Aaron Rodgers.
I think the other thing, too, and we're going to find out what happens with the Jets here tomorrow night, but now that they're switching coordinators. Remember, Rodgers fought tooth and nail about what LaFleur wanted to do on offense. He didn't want to run motion. He didn't want to do all this stuff. But the play designs that they run would have really made life so much easier for Rodgers had he just trusted LaFleur and let LaFleur do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, the one play, Reed goes in motion behind the backfield and runs to the left. He snaps the ball Love. He looks right through his progressions. Nobody's there. He comes back to the left. Reed's there with Kraft blocking form on the left side. That's as easy as it gets. Just pitch and catch and go. Let your guys work. And Rodgers didn't want any of that stuff when he was quarterback. And we'll see if Todd Downing, the new offensive coordinator for the Jets, is able to convince him to do that type of stuff. But it makes your life a lot easier when you have a really good offensive mind in Matt LaFleur giving you easy throws where guys are wide freaking open, and then you let them do the work.
Yeah, it seems like that really benefits Jordan Love just in general. And it tricks defenses, too, because yes. they know Jaden Reed. Even when he's in motion, sometimes it's just his decoy, right? It's just a misdirection, as I was saying. It makes every read easier if they are now seeing a guy moving and you have to account and or change what you're going to run because now there's a guy in motion. And the Packers, are they still the top motioning team in the NFL? I can't imagine they lost that title today.
By
right.
a significant amount.
Right.
Yeah.
They love to do it, and they did it a lot with other guys today too. That end around that Jaden Reed usually gets every game, they gave it to Bo Melton twice yep. today, and he had great plays on it as well. So they're not afraid to move anyone around, move and make reads easier for Jordan Love. And I will say that I don't think Jordan Love.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of while he is more like Brett Favre, I don't think he's more gunslinger as he is really effective game manager.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
You think Jordan Love's a game manager?
I do.
No.
Think Jordan? If you were going to rank Jordan Love as the offensive piece, I don't think Jordan Love. I think those receivers are much more talented than people give them credit for. I think Jaden Reed's a more valuable option to the offense than Jordan Love.
But Tommy, we just talked about it. Scheming guys open. So how much of it is how great
they are? Look at what Malik
Willis
did for 2 weeks.
What did Malik Willis do? He wasn't throwing the ball 30, 40 times a game. They had that all under control. He was throwing,
and
what, 15
times a game? And their offense had not missed a beat. They didn't commit a turnover the entire time.
Hold on. That was two games, and if defenses were given an opportunity to prepare for Malik Willis, and Willis had to play the rest of the year, Malik Willis is not doing that consistently. There's going to be turnovers. They're going to eventually play in key on the run, and that would have looked different. It was great for 2 weeks. All I'm saying is, to your wide receiver point, is they're more talented than people give them credit for. I think people do give them credit that they have one more explosive offenses. I just argue that if you took Romeo Doubs out, boop, moved him over there and took, I don't know, Odunze or whoever you want to take from another team and plop him in there, that you would have the same type of stuff. If we had Chad Ryder on, NFL draft analyst from NFL.com, who's been on shows with me since the 90s, he came on this week. He said, hey, man, you can't look past the Packers possibly looking at wide receiver early in this draft again. And we went over the wide receiving core. I was like, well, man. I said, they ain't going to make those people very happy in that room. He's like, yeah, but Christian Watson can't stay healthy. Wicks is dropping the ball. You know, whatever's going on with Dobbs now, like, that might be something that they look at improving. And my point is, let's say they go, Romeo, it's been cool. We're done. And they trade him in the offseason, and they draft another wide receiver. Is this offense going to go backwards because Romeo Doubs isn't there? If they get rid of Wicks and they draft another receiver, is it going to go backwards because Wicks isn't there? If Watson goes somewhere else and they draft somebody else, is it going to go backwards? No, because this offense is built and designed by Matt LaFleur to make life easier for everybody involved. And so to me, regardless of who's out there, I think Jordan Love's going to make plays one way or the other.
I think the offense...
You say game manager?
Yes.
I go old school. I think Trent Dilfer with the Ravens.
No.
Handoff. Make the critical big first
Brock
down throws.
Brock Purdy is a game manager. I think that is something... Look, it is more... I think this offense is more predicated on get the ball in these people's hands as opposed to Jordan Love, here's what we're giving you.
So who's not a game manager in your mind?
Not a game manager?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes.
Why?
Because Patrick Mahomes is getting a new crop of receivers every week and consistently throwing the ball down the field. They're drawing up stuff. Very similar offense where they're that Tucker Kraft QB sneak was right out of Andy Reid's playbook today. Mm-hmm. But you are when Jordan Love has the ball, he has a very strong arm. Tom Brady was a game manager. It's the same thing. Get the ball in these people's hands. I think that's what this offense is built on rather than Jordan Love, you have to go make a play for us. We're going to let someone else make the play. Jordan, get him the ball.
So you're saying there's quarterbacks in the league that have crappy receivers that because they're great, that's why they win. So how many of those are there?
Patrick Mahomes has to be one off the top of your head. Lamar is, but it's not because of his great throwing ability.
Not in the postseason, he's not.
Josh Allen, another great example of it.
A lot of interceptions and dumb decision-making, yes.
Yes, and that's way more gunslinger than he is game manager. Yep. I think he's the same way. So I think that those two off the top of your head, the top...
So in your mind, everybody in the league's a game manager outside of like two guys.
I think those two guys are great examples of it.
Then there's a lot of guys getting overpaid a lot of money. Don't pay Joe Burrow that money. Don't pay Jordan Love that money because anybody can come in and be a game manager.
The Bengals are another great example of it. Joe Burrow is a solid game-managing quarterback because he's got a lot more talent around him than him being the best talent on the team.
Yeah, that's a big overpay, though. That's a big... See, we're going to disagree on who game managers are and who aren't game managers and so forth at this point. But we can make that the question. Throw that out on the fan Twitter account and put it out there. Tommy, your Twitter handle, believes Jordan Love is more game manager than playmaker. Agree or disagree? And then put that up as a poll question. And let's see. And then put the phone numbers up. Do you agree with Tommy Wirtz? Do you think Jordan Love is more of a game manager than he is a playmaker? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. I didn't see this topic coming today. Packers get the win today in a big way over the Arizona Cardinals, 34-13. Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express here on 1250 AM The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
It's time for the drive of the game. Which drive was the most impressive by Green Bay today? Which was the most important? It's the Green Bay football postgame show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, we still got to finish up going inside the box score, but before we do that, we'll go through the drive of the game. That's something I always turn to Tommy Wirtz for as we broadcast here on 1250 AM, The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Packers get the win 34-13 over the Arizona Cardinals. Packers now improve to 4-2. And playing right now are the Lions and Cowboys. Neither quarterback looks all that great, if we're being honest, in this game so far between Goff and Dak Prescott. Lions up 7-3 there. And again, don't forget, coming into this game, the Detroit Lions come in at 3-1. So I guess if you had a rooting interest this early in the year, it would probably be the Dallas Cowboys to get them back to your record to get to 4-1. What would they be? What did I say? 3-1? They already had their bye week. So they'd be, 3-2. At that point. So that would be good. The Minnesota Vikings, obviously, I'm sorry. Like, I am not there that Sam Darnold is going to play like this all season long. I'm just not there, and we'll see what they look like coming back next week. Other games, Chicago was in London early this morning. Caleb Williams looked pretty good. Jacksonville's god-awful. You want to talk about overpaying a guy like we were talking about the last segment, Trevor Lawrence. Woo-wee! And again, he doesn't have the same weapons, right? If you gave Trevor Lawrence, Keenan Allen, Odunze, and DJ Moore, and Swift, I bet, and Cole Kmet, I bet you his numbers would be significantly better, and that offense would move a lot better if he had the weapons. But Jacksonville just has not given him true weapons. If you even gave him Malik Nabers at this point, I think he'd be significantly better than he is. But the Bears crush him 35-16. So the Bears are another team now 4-2 as well. This division's up for grabs, providing Minnesota comes back down to earth at some point. All right, let's get to the drive of the game, brought to you by our fine folks at Steelwind Industries. They're in Oak Creek, a huge sponsor for our toy drive last year. A huge toy donation. They've done it the last couple of years. They used to do it back in the day for the toy drive for Children's Wisconsin. They come in on one day. They bring a bunch of their managers, and they essentially go on a shopping spree inside of Toyland at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, which, by the way, is open now. And they spent $10,000 in toys and donated all the toys to Children's Wisconsin last year. And I can't wait for them to be involved again this year as a sponsor and being a sponsor here on the Green Bay Postgame Show as well for our Drive of the Game. Tommy Wirtz, what say you? What's the Drive of the Game for you?
All right. For the Drive of the Game, we're going to go to the third drive of the game. The Packers defense gave up the one first down and then was able to get a punt immediately right back. Jordan Love finds Romeo Doubs for 19 yards to start it off. It was his first catch of the day. It was a nice moment. You could hear the crowd erupt from there. Looked pretty awesome. He threw it again over to Dontavian Wicks. We saw action from there. Emmanuel Wilson was killing it. They had a very costly penalty, it felt like, on Elgton Jenkins for an illegal hands to the face.
Took the helmet right off.
And it got people nervous. Now you're back here. Do we have to try to kick with this guy again? Oh, my gosh. They got a neutral zone infraction, one of many again, and Romeo Doubs got his first touchdown of the day.
Four-man rush. Love throws towards the sideline. Diving in, it's Romeo Doubs with a touchdown!
Yes, it was his first touchdown call. We got it right from there. And
highlight courtesy of Fox 6.
It made it 14-0. You're off the bat. You're firing all cylinders again on offense right there. It looked awesome, and it was huge, I think, to get Romeo Doubs at least one touchdown today after the whole fiasco last week. And to get him two was just a cherry on top of it. It was a beautiful play.
It was, and the Packers go on to win this one 34-13. Cardinals now 2-4. Like I said, Packers now 4-2. As we continue to go through the box score, Doubs, like I said, 3-49, a couple of touchdowns. Ben Sims, how about it? 2-38. Jaden Reed, 6 catches, 28 yards on 6 targets, caught all the throws, and 1 touchdown, the first one of the game. Josh Jacobs, 3-28. Nice to see him involved in the passing game more this week. Emmanuel Wilson, 1-19. Tucker Kraft, only 2-13 on 4 targets. Dontavian Wicks, only 1 catch on 3 targets. That's a huge difference than what we saw the last 2 or 3 weeks with Dontavian Wicks. He had become the guy. Now, again, I wasn't watching. I didn't see all 22 or whatever the case may be. So maybe they were rolling coverage trying to take away Wicks because he had been their leading guy as far as targets go so far this year. So maybe they were game planning to try and take away Wicks a little bit more. But clearly not as much of a factor today. Bo Melton had 1 catch for 6 yards as well. Overall, your thoughts on the receiver group today, Mr. Wirtz?
I thought it was awesome. I thought this is exactly what you want to see out of the Green Bay receiving core. You don't want a guy to dominate a game. You want to be able to spread it all around. We saw Tucker Kraft take a little bit of a bump to, a downgrade to not getting as many targets and being available. Ben Sims was getting a lot more action today with Musgrave heading to the IR on top of it. You want Jordan Love to space it around, spread it out. Don't let anyone think that he's focused in on one guy. You want to create one-on-one matchups with this talent because the Green Bay wide receiving core is, I'm going to say it, the most deep in the NFL with guys from top to bottom. While they don't have a Justin Jefferson, they don't have a traditional sixth wide receiver on the team. Everyone can play whenever it needs to be. This is exactly what you want to see out of the Green Bay defense. And you had three different wide receiver, or Green Bay offense, sorry, and you had three different wide receivers score a touchdown today. That's prime for what Matt LaFleur is trying to do with this offense.
Golly, these quarterbacks aren't very good. Dak Prescott just threw a pick in the end zone to Brian Branch.
Baker Mayfield, gunslinger.
Three interceptions he had last time I checked. Baker Mayfield, not good last time I checked also. Hasn't been good most of his career. Had a good year last year. He's not that good. Just not that good. I mean, he was drafted early, first overall?
Yeah.
Man, not that good. Again, not when you start talking about number one overall.
Would you rather have Baker Mayfield's career or Trevor Lawrence's career?
Both aren't very good, so it doesn't really matter to me one way or the other.
I think Baker's significantly.
Lawrence had 1 year. That's all Lawrence has had in the NFL. He's had 1 year.
Baker had a great year last year, and he took the Browns to the...
He took the Browns
to the playoffs. Yeah, he won a playoff game with the Browns.
You will see how this goes. I think he's done after Tampa Bay.
Wow.
And they just gave him a brand new contract. I just don't think it's real. Now, again, if you want to compare him to Lawrence, he's got Mike Evans. He's got Chris Godwin.
And he's still slinging it.
What does Trevor Lawrence have? What does he have? He don't have none of that stuff. So again, if that's why I keep saying, like, I'm not trying to defend Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying the man's never had weapons like Caleb has, like he has, Baker Mayfield has over there, like Purdy has in San Francisco, while the Ayuk and Kittle and Dobbs and McCaffrey. Like, he's never been put in that situation to have that type of weapons to see what it would look like. He consistently gets given a bunch of guys that aren't all that great and trying to figure it out. Now, they just drafted him Thomas this year, and he's looked good so far this year.
Yeah,
so we'll see if he develops into something. But as of right now, you look at that court and you're like,
I also don't want want the game manager title to be an insult on Jordan Love.
It's not an insult. It's
not.
Anytime you call somebody a game manager, it's an insult.
No, it's not. Brock Purdy is a game manager. That offense is very, very similar to the Green Bay offense.
Their playmaker, their best Shanahan McVay offenses are the same.
So why is it an insult? Why is it an insult? Brock Purdy is a great quarterback. Jordan Love is a great quarterback.
Stafford's a game manager.
More so get the ball to people's hands than Matthew Stafford's winning games? Absolutely.
Isn't that the job of the quarterback, regardless of what offense you're in, is to get the ball to people's hands?
It is not. Matt Stafford is creating the plays because they're broken or because there's something not going right. He is a product of the offense. He is managing the offense very well.
Isn't that what they're supposed to do?
The good ones, yeah. It's a good game manager.
Aren't you supposed to throw the ball to
Jordan Love's arm is not strong enough and not powerful enough to say he's a true gunslinger like
you're
that.
Crazy.
No, it's not.
It's a completely disrespectful take by you on Jordan Love.
No, it's
you
not.
You are a Broncos fan, aren't you?
I am not a Broncos fan.
You seem to not like anything on the Packers.
I just said he's a great quarterback.
How you can look at Jordan Love and go, nah, his arm's not strong enough.
His arm isn't strong enough to be considered the gunslinger like it is. His arm is not better than Aaron Rodgers. His arm is not better than Brett Favre's.
No, I don't know about Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers. No, I disagree.
Oh.
I don't think there's that much of a difference. Mm. No, I think that's wrong.
Aaron Rodgers was slinging it for Hail Marys every other week for a four-year stretch
there.
He had
three or four of them. Great. I'm happy for him. And again, you want to sit here and tell me, oh, it's skill. It's BS. It's not. But either way, you can talk about Hail Marys and considering it slinging it. That's fine if that's your definition of slinging it. Whoever throws it far is a gunslinger or whatever. Jordan Love can throw it far too. He's got a strong arm, man. Like I've never heard anybody knock Jordan Love and say, "Well, he can make the throws, but he doesn't have that great of an arm." He's got a strong arm. Like I don't think that's even up for debate.
You're twisting me to try to sound like it's an insult. Again,
it
is not an insult to say that Tom Brady was a game manager.
When people say Brock Purdy's a game manager, Niner fans lose their mind in San Francisco.
Is Tom Brady not a game manager?
It's always been an insult when you say a quarterback is a game manager. It's been an insult forever.
Not if you manage the game well. That's an insult on my take there. It is not a downgrade to say that you are a game manager. It is not.
Who do I know who I could get on? Dickie, Mikowski, I guess one of them I could text and see if they want to come on. I've never heard of anybody think that's a compliment when you call a quarterback a game manager. Because what you're pretty much insinuating is, yeah, they're good with what they have, providing they have a lot of talent. Otherwise, they're probably not going to be that good. That's pretty much what you're saying.
I think that the offensive weapons are more valuable to the offense, yes. That they are the really talented, really explosive players on the team.
So if Jordan, we agree there's no number one wide receiver on this team,
yes,
then how in the world is he a game manager?
Because he's getting the ball all around.
But he has no dominant one. Isn't your point of
who's the dominant one in San Francisco? Is it Debo or is it Brandon Ayuk? Or is it George Kittle? Or is it Christian McCaffrey?
McCaffrey all day long is the best player on that offense. Yes.
Well,
best player on this offense is Jordan Love. Period.
No,
end of story. Not
Jaden
even
Reed.
Close.
Jaden Reed's more valuable to the offense than Jordan Love.
Oh, my God. That's another poll question you can put out there. Tweet that one out next. Hey, Tommy Wirtz is on a roll, y'all. Now he thinks Jaden Reed's more important than Jordan Love.
I would rather,
tweet that out. Have at it.
Jaden Reed's a stud.
Oh,
absolute
my God
stud.
Almighty. He needs his own show. Crazy Takes with Tommy Wirtz, Saturday nights. You are nuts.
I'm telling you right now that this offense has so many weapons on the outsides and in the slots that it's really, you could put in any quarterback, for example, Malik Willis, and Matt LaFleur will find something to do to draw up to make it look awesome.
Okay, so this is the other thing. Tomorrow at 8 a.m., we're going to announce our two new shows.
Yes.
And I have some great news for everybody listening. Crazy Takes Wirtz is producing both shows.
I'll be on in the
Which means 5 days a week, Crazy Takes Wirtz, that's his new nickname, is going to be having an opportunity to have more crazy takes with the whole set he's producing for starting tomorrow at 8 a.m. Oh, these shows are going to be amazing. They are going to love you.
I don't think it's that crazy to say that there's so many more offensive weapons on this team past the quarterback position.
You just said Jaden Reed is a bigger deal to this offense than Jordan Love. That's what you just said.
Yeah, I'm.
You said it on the radio.
I'm not ready to walk it back either.
No, you don't have to walk it back.
I'm pretty strong in that. By the end of this, Jaden Reed's going to be looked at as just a stud.
He is a stud. I'm not saying he's not a stud, but I'm not going to tell you that the guy that did what he did last year,
you're
going
to be talking next to Jaden Reed and Don Hutson. That's where you're going to be at by the end of this whole thing.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not. No.
all right. Donald Driver, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, the whole thing.
Stop. Donald Driver does not belong in those conversations. Randall Cobb does not belong in those conversations. Absolutely freaking not. It's Sterling
Antonio
Sharp.
Freeman doesn't belong in the conversation either.
None of those guys are.
Jaden Reed's going to be at the top. He'll be a Packer Hall of Famer.
Hey, listen, with all due respect, that doesn't mean anything.
Oh,
when we talk about that, then you're talking about Devontae, Sterling Sharp, and who else? James Lofton.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring up Don Hutson at the end. So Don Hutson, I can't talk about. I wasn't here. But the rest of them I've all seen. I've watched Lofton when he was playing for the Packers. Sharp, Devontae Adams. If he ends up being in that category, hey, great. But I'll tell you right now, I'll take a possible Hall of Fame quarterback over a Hall of Fame receiver every day of the week. Won't blink twice. Any day of the week. Give me a great quarterback over a great receiver. Because as you just pointed out, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have anybody. Look what he's doing. Right. Great quarterback. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't know if Love is or not, but I know he's a damn good one. So for me, I would rather go that way than start talking about I'd rather have Jaden Reed than Jordan Love. No, absolutely not. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. Crazy Takes Wirtz is here. Sparky is here. 34-13. Packers over the Cardinals. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. And guess what? It's driven by my friends over there at Young Express. And those guys are amazing. I've worked with these guys for years as they've advertised on The Fan over the course of time. Now, what they are looking for is full-time independent contractors. That means you are essentially kind of your own boss, right? So if you decide, you know what, I've got a party this weekend and I need to go out of town to, I don't know, Nashville or Indianapolis or wherever for 2 or 3 days. I'm not driving on Thursday or Friday, guys. I'll be back on Monday. Yeah, sounds good. Have fun. All right, off you go. You're done. That's it. You control when you have off. You just give them a heads up of when you're going to be taking off and off you go. Now, the cool thing about being a full-time independent contractor with Young Express is you're driving for a living. That is your career. Now, maybe some of you, you know, I don't know, have been a teacher for a majority of your life or worked in a factory, and now you're looking for a new career field. This is absolutely perfect for you. You have a 24/7 dispatch center. They tell you where you're going. Now, local is within 250 miles of Milwaukee, so they'll be like, okay, Crazy Takes Wirtz, we need you to drive to Fond du Lac, and then from there, we need you to head to Racine and drop off the freight that you get, and then call us, and we'll tell you where to go next and where the next delivery is. That's it. That's all you do. And it's 99% no-touch freight. Freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is drive. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's J-U-N-G, express.com. Young Express, success drives them. The Green Bay Packers, they get the win over the Arizona Cardinals, 34-13. And it is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express here on 1250 AM. The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Still to come, we'll hear from Mason Crosby. We'll hear from Jordan Love. We'll hear from our guy, Matt LaFleur. And yeah, who knows? Maybe Crosby will come back and replace Narveson because God knows they need a new kicker.
The game is over and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
All right, Packers get the win today, 34-13 over the Arizona Cardinals. See Sparky, Five for Crazy Takes, Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. You're thinking to yourself, why is he calling them Crazy Takes all of a sudden? What did I miss? You missed a freaking lot, let me tell you what. You have missed a lot. First off, if you go to at the Fan Milwaukee, you could go vote in his Crazy Take. And he tweeted this tweet out. I didn't tweet this out. At Wirtz Thomas, that's his Twitter account, believes that Jordan Love is more, quote, gay manager than gunslinger, end quote. Where do you stand on the comment? Is Jordan Love a product of Matt LaFleur's offense, or is he the guy creating big plays, gay manager or gunslinger? And right now we've got a bunch of votes in, but again, this will go 24 hours, so we can check back in this tomorrow on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. So that was one that happened in the last half hour or so. Then, before the top of the hour, he took it a step farther. This crazy dude said, hey, give me Jaden Reed over Jordan Love for this offense going forward. I'd rather have Jaden Reed. Now that you had a break to think about it, you want to take that back? I'll let you take it back and we'll act like it never happened.
I'll say he's as valuable. Let's walk it back then. How about that? I'm not gonna say that Jaden Reed is not extremely valuable to this offense. And quite frankly, if Jaden Reed goes away, if Jaden Reed's down, who's doing all the motioning? Who's doing all that?
Bo Melton.
Wow, that's a big downgrade in the motioning right away.
I don't know. We haven't
seen
it yet.
What about the great plays they have drawn up for him? They get him screen plays all over the place, stuff like that. They have
who gets him that?
Matt LaFleur.
Oh. But that hurts Jordan Love's being valuable because it's being schemed up for him. But now you're saying Jaden Reed is having stuff schemed up for him, but he's great. Now which is?
Because I think Matt LaFleur trusts in Jordan Love to manage the game for Jaden Reed.
No, but Jaden Reed has to be responsible for getting open. So is he getting open because he's shaking people and getting open? Or is he getting open because of the scheme put out there by Matt LaFleur to get him open by running motion and so forth? Is he not on the outside because he doesn't believe, LaFleur, believe that he can get open consistently being out there?
Probably.
If that's what the case
is. Probably. I think that's a fair point. I think that's absolutely fair.
You can't put him in this conversation with Devontae and Lofton and Hudson and the rest
of them.
I'm
telling you
right
now.
He can't be in that conversation.
Jaden Reed is going to revolutionize slot receiver.
God.
Revolutionize. It's going to be awesome.
Somebody
I can't wait. I can't wait. Debo Samuel's career times infinity. It's the exact same type of player. Exact same type. And I don't think that, I think that everyone watching should understand that too, how valuable Jaden Reed is to the offense. I know he didn't go, I know he didn't have the big play like he usually does every week, but that guy is, any given moment on any given Sunday, he can be an absolute difference maker in the game. And we haven't even gotten to talk about any one of my other guys, too, because we've only talked about the offense the entire time on this show.
That's because you keep having crazy takes. I can't ignore your crazy takes. You haven't had any crazy takes yet on defense to this point. Thank God. Now, I'll give you credit for this. The Packers get the win today over the Arizona Cardinals, and I'm distracted by these crazy takes of Tommy Wirtz. 34-13. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., we announce two new shows here on The Fan at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'll introduce the hosts, Tommy Wirtz, Crazy Takes. He'll be producing for both shows, so I can't wait to see what this looks like during the week between him on both shows. Oh, my God, I pray for everybody involved. So tomorrow morning, we announce the host. Then the guy or guys that are hosting the first show at 8 o'clock, the 8 o'clock show that'll be on each and every day, Monday through Friday, will take over and do their show. Then the other hosts or hosts will then do their show after that. So that's how this is all going to play out. 8 a.m. tomorrow. Tune into The Fan, and we'll tell you all about what we're about to do. So we'll have three local shows a day, Monday through Friday, plus this post-game show as well. So again, brick by brick, building this thing back up again. I will throw some love at Crazy Takes Wirtz.
Can I guess it?
Because this is really the first week where we've really seen Crazy Takes Wirtz kind of go left on us. And for the most part, he's been right down the middle, you know, being normal up until this post-game show. And now he's kind of veered way off center here. This here is a guy that he's been loving.
Inside the 25, the ball pops out. Loose on the turf at the 22-yard line. Dortch was fighting for an extra yard. Instead, he gives it up.
Dortch gives it up because Evan Williams, Tommy Wirtz's guy,
my guy,
as he should be because he is a stud, creates that fumble. He had a big play early in the game as well. After he made that play, because I tweeted about Evan Williams earlier in the game on a play where Kyler Murray couldn't shake him, I tweeted out, this dude in capital letters, this dude has been unbelievable. A fourth round pick, and he looks like he could be a future Pro Bowler himself.
Oh my gosh, he's a stud. And that fumble was prime Peanut Tillman, punch it out, just... It was almost stationary, and you saw him wind up and then directly onto the ball that Dortch was holding on to. And you mentioned one of his other plays that's going to go very unnoticed in this game was he stayed home when Kyler Murray pulled the ball on the read option earlier in the game when Arizona was kind of, where they had gotten their first down, and I believe they had Van Ness or Enoch Barry or someone on the outside. Hey, go after the running back. Williams is going to stay home. He nailed it. He was perfect. He is so good, and he is taking away spotlight from Javon Bullard, who's not playing bad, but obviously not going to get as much trust because Evan Williams has been playing out of his mind the last few weeks, and I saw it immediately the few weeks ago when we first mentioned him, and he has done nothing but make me look awesome the last couple of weeks.
Yes, yes, he absolutely has. But the thing about Bullard is he's not getting beat. Like, we don't see the back of 20 running down the field chasing after a guy. He's done his job, which has been nice. And today, for the most part, nobody really got picked on by Kyler Murray, where he just kept throwing at Stokes, or he just kept throwing at a different DB, Keyshawn Nixon. Nobody really got picked on consistently, which tells you the secondary played better today. And again, with all due respect, let's be fair, Marvin Harrison Jr. left with that concussion, so that obviously helped as far as what you were having to deal with on that offense for the Cardinals. McBride got going. Quay Walker can't cover anybody.
No.
I'm telling you, he can't cover anybody at this point. Overall, I thought that secondary played much better.
Oh my gosh, the secondary looked awesome today. Keyshawn Nixon was making a lot of great open field tackles. They had Stokes on Harrison at a couple of different plays today as well, too. And again, he didn't become a factor because of the injury, but he didn't become a game changer when he was in as well. Jair, I believe, had the fumble recovery as well. He was all over the place on top.
Dumb face mask penalty.
Yeah,
Previous play from that face mask penalty, he was jawed with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The very next play that he does that, which, by the way, fail on Fox for not showing the replay of what happened. They never showed the replay. They call personal foul 15 yards face mask after the play on Jair, but they never showed it on TV for us to actually see what happened.
Yeah, and the secondary I don't think was the question coming into the game. I know we had Marvin Harrison, but 100%, the best showing they've had since week two, the defensive line. Kenny Clark, this was a Kenny Clark game.
He
was
better push.
Oh my gosh, he was in the face everywhere. He recovered the fumble at the end that was dropped because he got through so quickly. And did you see today they had Carl Brooks in on a lot of pass rushing downs? I know Devontae Wyatt's still out.
Yep.
But Carl Brooks looked awesome today, and he stayed home on Kyler Murray on that one where he threw it away kind of and made sure that he didn't.
Shadowed him essentially right in front of him.
I this defensive line, especially the interior with Brooks and with Clark, even Rashawn Gary was getting his face in there a little bit more. He didn't come down with a sack or anything. But this was exactly what you needed out of this defensive line. And it with the offense being as efficient as it was, Kyler Murray didn't really want to scramble. He wanted to throw the ball more because they wanted to get down the field to catch up. And the defensive line, they did great. Kyler Murray would scramble here and there. That's his game. You're not going to stop every single time he does it. But no big runs of 20, 30 yards or anything along that line. And the defensive line, I think this is their best game they've had since Tennessee. And I still, that would be only statistically. If you were what we needed out of this unit today, this is the best game they've had all year.
Okay, if we're being honest, Cardinals aren't a great football team. So let's just be fair. What we're talking about here, they're not necessarily
great. They're not pushovers.
No, they're probably going to be around 6-7
wins. I mean, this is they beat San Francisco this year.
They did.
Right? I mean, they are competitive.
Yes, right.
Yes.
So right around 500, a couple games below 500, somewhere in that area. But either way, you needed it from a confidence perspective to continue to build on this thing kind of going forward from a Packers fan perspective. I'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from Packers quarterback Jordan Love, who had a big day today. Big day today. 34-13, Packers over the Cardinals. 258 yards for Love, 22 of 32, four touchdowns, one pick, 119.5 quarterback rating. And can't ask for much more. And again, the interception wasn't his fault. Melton slipped on the wet grass, whatever, and they got intercepted. Overall, like, if we think about this, didn't really throw. I mean, the one touchdown to Melton, he threw way behind Melton, way up in the air. Dobbs adjusted, got the touchdown. But as far as crossing routes, guys weren't having to reach behind their backs. Sims had one that was short of him that he had to reach down and catch at his shoestrings. But there wasn't, that was, I think that was the only one. There wasn't as many errant throws by Jordan Love as we've seen the last couple of weeks. I think you saw him take another step forward today, Tommy.
Yeah, and he had that one to Christian Watson that was right on the money, too, and it seemed like the defender got there earlier in the corner of the end zone.
I don't know. I mean, they should have been pass interference. I couldn't tell on the replay. Did that hit the defender's arm or did that hit Watson's chest?
It looked like it hit the arm of the defender and then into Watson's
chest. Is that what it was?
In real time, I thought it hit Watson right in the chest.
That's what I thought.
Yes. And then in the replay, it did look like he got a piece of it. So, all right, whatever. But I still thought that that was a really awesome throw that he put on the money today. As well.
Make sure to tune in tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. We'll announce the two new shows tomorrow here on The Fan. That'll be three local shows every day, Monday through Friday, as we continue to build this thing back up brick by brick. Very, very excited to announce the new shows tomorrow. And then they start right away. Full shows tomorrow for both of the new shows tomorrow, including the one that'll start at 8 a.m. So again, tune in tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Tell your friends, post it on social media, tell everybody, spread the word as we continue to build up more and more local programming here on The Fan. Packers get the win today. We'll hear from Jordan Love up next. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, right here on 1250 a.m. The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Who was the most valuable player for Green Bay today?
On three. One, two, three.
Who stood out the most?
Here we go!
It's time to announce the MVP of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, this one's easy. It's Jordan Love. I don't know how it's not. Four touchdowns, one pick. Again, Melton fell on that one in a 34-13 win. Packers over the Cardinals as we broadcast here on 1250 AM. The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. 22 of 32, 258, 119.5 quarterback rating. We do have the Twitter poll question up at The Fan Milwaukee. And all you have to do is go and look at Crazy Takes, Tommy Wirt's poll question here. This is all him. But he believes that Jordan Love is more game manager than gunslinger. Where do you stand on the comment? Is Jordan Love a product of Matt LaFleur's offense, or is he the guy creating big plays? And then you have your two options, game slinger or gunslinger. E. Mueller tweeted back and says, you can't have that many picks and be called a game manager.
Oh, I think that's... Don't you think that interceptions... If you're translating game manager as a negative connotation, right? It's a bad thing to be called a game manager.
Correct. And gunslinger is a connotation with a lot of interceptions.
I think that Favre, when Josh you were bringing Allen, up Mahomes. Trent Dilfer, he's a guy who has a lot of interceptions compared to touchdowns, right?
Not in that Baltimore offense.
I think
you're saying when he was in Tampa Bay and so
you,
forth.
Okay, how about that? Do you think offense, that Matt LaFleur is more valuable to this Packers team, or Jordan Love is more valuable to this Packers team?
Jordan Love or Matt LaFleur?
Yes.
Matt LaFleur.
Right.
What does that have to do with anything
else?
Jordan
Love is absolutely a product of Matt LaFleur's offense. He is managing the game that Matt LaFleur wants to put out there.
Every quarterback is the product of the coach's offense. In any situation, good or bad. Well, Will Levis sucks, but he's the product of what they want him to run.
Aaron Rodgers was not managing the game. He was gunslinging like Brett Favre for Matt LaFleur's offense. He's not managing it how he wanted it to, and that's why you saw
So if you ignore what the head coach wants you to do, then you're a gunslinger. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the quarterback
wanted to do, so that made Rodgers a gunslinger because he ignored the head coach and the offense he wanted to run.
He absolutely was. Jordan Love is absolutely more of a product of Matt LaFleur's offense than his talent, I think, is bringing him.
So you think if Jordan Love was somewhere else next year, he wouldn't be good?
If Jordan Love was in Jacksonville, you think he's having as much success?
No. Absolutely.
If Trevor
not.
Lawrence is in Green Bay, do you think he's as successful as Jordan Love?
Don't know, but it has a better chance of being successful than in Jacksonville with nobody. Yes, absolutely.
I think Matt LaFleur is way more valuable to the team. That's what I would really love to say. Matt LaFleur is way more valuable to the Packers' success.
I think we'd all agree with that.
And Jordan Love is really good at managing the game that Matt LaFleur wants to put out there.
A perfect point on that is Aaron Rodgers was headed downhill with McCarthy at the end. Matt LaFleur got in there and he won MVPs. He's now left Matt LaFleur and he don't look like Aaron Rodgers anymore, does he?
Yes.
So maybe he was a product of Matt LaFleur and Mike McCarthy more than it was anything he had to do.
Oh. I don't think that's a fair statement. That's not a fair statement at all, because
you know that
Aaron Rodgers is miles, and you can say how great Jordan Love is. He's been awesome. He is miles more talented in his prime than Jordan Love is. Miles.
We don't know. Jordan Love hasn't got to his prime yet. Don't know.
Okay.
He just started. We just started.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Brock Purdy and Jordan Love can be very comparable quarterbacks in terms of success on the field, and Brock Purdy 100% is a game-managing quarterback. He's a seventh rounder, last pick in the draft.
Why does that matter?
Because
why does it matter where you were drafted? How does that correlate to whether you're a game manager or a gunslinger?
He was the third string guy, and Shanahan knew he could execute his offense better than the guy they traded away first round draft picks for.
Which one?
Trey Lance.
No. Which Shanahan? Because you do know, and if you don't know, I'll tell you. Mike Silver has it in his book. Mike Shanahan, who is coaching from afar, watching tape and so forth, and then talking to his son, was on Purdy from the first OTA minicamp and kept telling Silver, this Purdy guy, I think it's this Purdy guy. I think he's going to be the guy.
Okay, well, Kyle's ultimately the guy who makes the decision.
I understand that. All I'm saying is Mike deserves some credit too. Mike obviously saw something in him. So is that why you think Tom Brady was a game manager? Because he was a late round pick? So can you only be a gunslinger if you're a first round pick?
No, that's not what I said.
Give me a gunslinger that was after the fifth round. I'll wait.
After the fifth round?
Yeah, you got nobody.
Well, how many quarterbacks get in after the fifth round?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you dropped the seventh round.
How about Kurt Warner?
How
about Kurt Warner? Undrafted.
Yes.
Gunslinger. Absolutely.
Why?
He was able to get the ball all over the place because of the talent of his arm. More than the product of his offense. And they were obviously more worried about, Marshall Faulk
Jordan
running the ball.
Jordan Love's arm is much stronger than Kurt Warner's was. Kurt Warner didn't have a great arm. No, he did not. Rodgers' arm was stronger. Favre's arm was stronger. A lot of these quarterbacks' arms were stronger.
Warren Moon, right? Another late-round guy.
Warren Moon, yeah, he played out of the league and then in the league and all that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can have this conversation all day. I'm not going to change your mind.
It's going to be talked about in tomorrow's shows, too. 100%.
Well, good luck to everybody involved there, because I won't be involved.
I will be fighting tooth and nail.
I will be listening on the radio, laughing hysterically, starting tomorrow morning at 8
a.m. That's fine. So if you want to weigh in on it, you'll have to tune in again tomorrow, because I guarantee I'm going to bring it up to both shows tomorrow, and I know for sure one show is going to run with it.
I guarantee you nobody on any of the shows will agree with you. There will not be one person on any of those shows. I don't think
everyone would agree with me that Matt LaFleur is more valuable to the Packers than Jordan Love is.
I agree too. I didn't disagree with you on that. Not at all. Totally agree. I think Matt LaFleur is one of the best offensive minds in football, without question. But can you give anybody to Matt LaFleur and him have the success that he's having with Jordan Love?
No. Malik Willis. He did it with Malik Willis.
2 weeks is not a season. 2 weeks is not two
and
seasons.
And it wasn't even a hiccup. It was maybe the most efficient this offense has looked since this week.
Tommy, they ran an offense the first game against the Colts that represented a high school offense, and it worked because the Colts had no idea what the heck to prepare for. The second week, he opened up a little bit more. Malik Willis looked better. That's fine, but there is no way anybody is buying that, oh yeah, Malik Willis would do the same thing as Jordan Love. Because if they thought that, then there was no reason to pay Jordan
Absolutely.
Love.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So you Jordan thought Love, overpaying Jordan Love was
Jordan Love expands the offense. Absolutely. You can do a lot more with Jordan Love. He's a guy there was another tweet, I escaped the name, but I tweeted back at him, who had said he's a good combination of both. I can buy in on that. All right. Because he absolutely opens up the offense to more of the deep game, to more of the shot plays. But ultimately, I think he's extremely efficient and one of the best game managing quarterbacks in the league. As opposed to gunslinger.
He is Crazy Takes. Tommy Wirtz, C. Sparky Fiverr with you. Here is what Tommy likes to call it, the game manager. Jordan Love had to say after the game today, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Here's Jordan Love. There is some of what Jordan Love had to say earlier today. Can we talk a little bit about this Packers team in general? So they win 34-13 today, 34 points. Last week, they scored 24. The week before that, in a loss to the Vikings, they scored 29. The week before that, with Malik Willis, who Tommy Wirtz is a big fan of, they had 30 against Tennessee. The week before that, again, Malik Willis, they had 16. That was the only week where they didn't really score. The week before that, in a loss against Philly, they had 29. I mean, this team is pretty much averaging like 30 points a game at this point. That is nuts. I mean, you average 30 points a game, you may not lose more than one or two more games the rest of the year if this defense, as pointed out, continues to take the ball away from the opposing offenses.
Yeah, and the defense just seems to make such timely turnovers on top of it, too. And today, they had thrown up the graphic. I can't remember if it was after the third turnover or after the second turnover. So it might be, it's either 15 or 16 turnovers, and they had 18 all of last year.
Yep.
This is a playmaking defense. We've brought it up, and they are not afraid to give up some soft coverage yards. They are not afraid. Halfley does not care if there is a 12-yard gain every once in a while on the defensive side. They are trying to make plays when they go out there. They didn't get a pick today. Didn't matter. They had three
fumbles. The streak ends for McKinney.
Yeah, right. That's where if anyone was going to get a pick, that's who everyone wanted to get a pick today, right?
Yep.
But to force two fumbles and recover a third one, because that's not, no one's getting a forced fumble on that for Murray just dropping the ball. But this defense is way more dynamic with Jeff Hafley than it was with Joe Barry. I mean, they have so many different guys that can make plays. And while they are still trying to figure out and looks like they're going in the right direction for the defensive line play, man, the secondary is just so much more efficient, it seems like. You know, there's no more fear of a Ladarius Gunter having to be on this team.
There's not
or
as much
something.
Miscommunication either.
Yes,
where guys are running wide open and you have finger pointing in the back end like, that was your guy. No, that was your guy. We've seen that for years with this Packers
And that's
defense.
Probably an Xavier McKinney being, because he's absolutely calling the shots back there.
But
you can see him too.
You've got two rookies out there too, right?
Right.
Williams and Bullard, you would think for sure you would have communication issues when you have two first-year guys out there playing NFL defense.
And they look prime right now. They look absolutely beautiful. The Evan Williams one, I just can't get over. It is such an unsung hero right now at this first, third of the season in weeks. He looks amazing. Game-changing right now. He looks so good. It looks like a steal in the draft.
No question about it. Next up for the Green Bay Packers are going to be the Houston Texans. That's up next week at Lambeau Field. C.J. Stroud and company today did their thing against the Patriots, throwing up 41 points to 21 for the New England Patriots. And again, you had Drake May making his debut. He had three touchdowns, a couple of picks in that game. C.J. Stroud, three touchdowns, one interception for him today. Joe Mixon over 100 yards, 102 yards. Diggs, six catches for 77, a touchdown. Tank Dell, seven for 57 and a touchdown. So it will be more of a challenge going into next week against a more potent offense, what the Texans will bring to town. You have to make sure Joe Mixon doesn't run wild on you going into that game next week.
Yeah, and it'll be really deciding if, you know, Nico Collins is ready to go by then. I don't think he's on IR, right? He's just hurt and didn't play this week. Because that's going to add a lot to their offense, too. He's obviously their number one over there. As big of a name as Stephon Diggs is,
right,
he's not Nico Collins to C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud loves his Nico Collins over there. I think that it's going to be a lot of the same of Xavier McKinney. You're going to have a deep third that you're responsible for, and you're ultimately going to have to probably cover half the field at any moment, you know, goes play the middle and then run left, run right. Nothing gets past you there. And it's going to be another big task for the defensive line to create some disruption up front, because Joe Mixon is a much better running back than they've seen in the last few weeks.
He is our guy, Crazy Takes Tommy Wirtz, C. Sparky Fiverr with you. The Green Bay Packers take care of business today over the Arizona Cardinals, 34-13. We'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur coming up next. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express here on 1250 AM The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
You're listening to the Green Bay Football Postgame Show on The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Third and four, here comes the blitz. Garnett providing the pressure. Love lofts it up. Oh, what an adjustment! Romeo Doubs! The 20-yard touchdown!
Yeah, it was definitely not a great throw. But Romeo Doubs made a heck of an adjustment. Came back for it about the one-yard line, half-yard line. Tiptoed in for that touchdown. That made it 31-13. Is what made it, and it was a beautiful thing. Packers win 34-13 over the Arizona Cardinals. And I got to tell you, I don't know how you can't be really happy with what you watched today, I think, as a Packers fan, whether it be on offense, whether it be on defense. Heck, they even had a great kick return by Keyshawn Nixon, Tommy Wirtz.
Yeah, that was an awesome punt return. That was, they originally had Jaden Reed back there, and then he fumbled. And then they went, no, we're not going to run it with that. And then switch it to Nixon. Yep. And then the next play was the Watson touchdown. That was awesome. That was a great exchange there.
Ryan Wood pointed this out after that Keyshawn Nixon return and said, why in the world are we running Jaden Reed out there when he's, you know, a starting wide receiver, one of the most important wide receivers on this team.
Maybe the most important player on the team.
Why is he even back there to begin with? Why are you risking injury to him back there? Why isn't Keyshawn Nixon back there every single time? I agree.
And he's always dynamic when he's returning kicks.
Right, that's why you paid him, whatever it was, $6 million a year, whatever the case was. That's exactly why you paid him. So let him go back there and do that. You didn't pay Keyshawn Nixon $6 million a year to go be a nickel cover back. You paid him because he was the best returner in the National Football League. And what was it? The third time, when he did the kickoff return later in the game, it was the third time they returned a kickoff this year.
Yeah, they don't want him touching the ball. He puts fear into special teams again.
Yes. So just let him go to bed, do punts too. Let's quit screwing around with Jaden Reed.
Can I read a tweet on air?
Can you read a tweet on air?
Yeah, from our
sure.
poll again
then
real
we
quick.
We got to get to Matt LaFleur. Tell everybody what the poll question is.
Yes, so poll question again. Where do you stand on the comment of Jordan Love is a game manager as opposed to a gunslinger?
Right.
So then go ahead, vote on at the fan Milwaukee if you think he's more game manager or gunslinger. Dream big. At Sparky Anderson on Twitter. He has a little bit more Brett Favre than Aaron Rodgers in him. All right. So we were talking about that. I think both of those were gunslingers.
I don't think people view Rodgers as a gunslinger.
Really?
Because gunslinger has the interception connotation. Rodgers didn't throw picks. So nobody views him as a gunslinger. They view Brett Favre as a gunslinger, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, guys that throw quite a few picks and make bad decisions, trusting their arm to make big plays. Those are the guys that they view as gunslingers. That's the connotation.
Okay, so then this year.
Josh, yeah, Allen, Mahomes, Elway, gunslinger, Favre.
Was Jordan Love a gunslinger in the second half of last season?
I've never viewed him as a gunslinger, to be fair. I just view him as a really good quarterback. But I didn't view him as a game manager either, necessarily. But I think as you watch Jordan Love play here, he definitely leans more gunslinger than game manager for sure, because he definitely doesn't make the greatest of decisions all the time. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't, and he's willing to roll the dice either way. Like you said yourself, he's not going to take a sack. He's not just going to throw it away. He's going to try and force the issue. And that is by far the definition of a gunslinger, far more than a game manager at this point. In my own definition. Now, again, we can have different definitions, but that's mine.
Okay. All right, let's get to Matt LaFleur.
Here is Packers head coach Matt LaFleur after a win today. Good answer. There is Matt LaFleur wrapping up. Evan Williams is a stud. Like I don't think we need to address that anymore other than say Evan Williams is a stud. He's a rookie. He's going to be a Pro Bowler, probably perennial Pro Bowler going forward unless something changes. You heard him talk about Romeo Doubs, getting him going early and so forth. Here is Romeo Doubs after the game. I'm making the executive decision. I don't want to hear Romeo Doubs the rest of the year. He adds nothing. He mumbles. He says nothing at the end of the day.
There is a quote.
I'll read the quotes in the paper the next day.
Yes. The quote is, it's a surreal moment on there. And I think that, again, from that tone, sounds like there's more than just, hey, I'm not getting the ball. That was what I got from the tone, at least.
What tone? The tone is always the same. It's monotone.
And I think it was a great game. I had a lot of fun.
He said he got a lot of stuff going on, and his teammates embracing him.
My point is there's no tone. It's the same tone. He doesn't go up. He doesn't go down. It's the same tone all the time. I don't change my inflection at all. I am a robot. That is how he talks. There's no tone. It's the same tone.
Fair enough. You had to give him a shot after this week. You had to give him a shot.
Hey, I'm just saying.
I respect it.
I say for what we do, it's not good.
No, from going forward.
It's great. Not everybody's meant to be a radio soundbite. Not everybody. Everybody is meant to have, you know, their interviews played back on the radio or their pressers. He is one that we don't ever have to play again unless there is something different from Romeo Doubs going forward when he talks to the media.
Yeah, we agree.
We agree.
We agree. We got there.
It's a good way to end the show. All you have to do is go to Young Express if you're looking to start a new career. They're looking for full-time independent contractors. Local drivers, meaning you're driving within 250 miles of Milwaukee. They have a 24/7 dispatch team, which means they're going to tell you where you're going and to pick up your freight and then where you're going to drop it off. Over 700 direct customers, extremely dedicated, take it very personal to keep drivers moving. You're driving for a living. That's it. That's going to be your career. You're just going to drive. Nobody hovering over your shoulder. It's just you, the radio, us here on the fan, and away you go. And 99% no-touch freight. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. Thanks so much for checking our show out today. Packers get the win. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., big, big news. Two brand new shows start tomorrow, starting at 8 a.m. Find out who they are and then listen to their shows after I'm done announcing them. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. here on The Fan. Have a good one. Toodles!
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.